The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
First, we want to tell you about our sponsor. We're thrilled to have Home Title Lock on with us. Home Title Lock is something that Stu turned me on to, and you have to have this not only for yourself, but you might also recommend, if I may, checking your parents' homes or your, you know, aunt or whoever might be elderly now, because this is the FBI says fastest growing crime.
Especially because, you know, if they bought a house and they've lived in the same house for a long period of time, this is a big target for these home title fraud people, because they know there's a lot of equity there. It's probably paid off. You can take out large home equity loans, and they get to keep the money, and you have to pay for it. It's a disaster. You don't want to deal with it. So do what both of us have now done now. Go to Home Title Lock. For pennies a day, they put a barrier around your home's title and mortgage. They'll take care of this. They make sure you're protected. Get your $100 search free with sign up at HomeTitleLock.com. It's HomeTitleLock.com. You should go there now. Get it out of the way. HomeTitleLock.com.
Glenn Beck.
Okay, you know, out of all the presidential candidates that could run for president in 2020 for the Democrats, I'm just thinking that Avenatti is, you know, I think he's probably, you might want to take him off the list, Democrats. You might want to. Now, I'm all for him. In fact, I'm printing up T-shirts for him. He's the creepy porn lawyer. He's the guy that has been representing not only Stormy Daniels, but also, you know, the worst of the worst in the Kavanaugh hearings. Okay, that's this guy. He was arrested yesterday afternoon in Los Angeles, and the reason why he was arrested kind of makes you think that maybe there's some kind of invisible force out there making sure, you know, either irony or maybe even karma is receiving its daily offering. I'm just saying. Michael Avenatti was arrested for domestic violence. Now, the alleged victim filed the complaint on Wednesday, but the incident began on Tuesday. The woman involved is said to have bruising and swelling on her face and was kicked out of Avenatti's Los Angeles area apartment. Avenatti was heard screaming, "This is BS. This is effing BS. She hit me first." Oh, well, if she hit you first. Yeah, I don't think the whole "she hit me first" line is going to be a good strategy used in court. You might want to rethink that one. Oh, he already has. Now, I don't know if the media, specifically CNN and MSNBC, are going to do any mea culpas over the next 12 to 24 hours, but I highly doubt it. They have become the Avenatti network and the PR wing over the last 8 months. In fact, from March to May, the two networks have Avenatti on over 100 times. He gave 147 interviews on both cable and network TV. MSNBC host Lawrence O'Donnell actually said, quote, "Michael Avenatti is becoming my co-host, I have to say." Now, this is, you know, this is before he dragged Julie Swetnick into the limelight to attack Kavanaugh. You know, I wonder, is this going to teach the networks? Nah, let's not spend any time even thinking about that. Could be a learning moment, but it won't be. Speaking of Kavanaugh, you have to hear this Twitter exchange between one user and Avenatti on October 5th. It said, "Brett Kavanaugh will be confirmed, and it's Michael Avenatti's fault. Seriously." That's when Avenatti replied, quote, "You are right. I should have turned my back on my client, told her to shut up and stay quiet, because people like you apparently believe assault victims are to blame." Oh, this line of thinking is disgusting and offensive to all survivors. Yeah. And let's all remember, she hit him first. Then there's this today. Here is his statement that he made last night.
"I have never struck a woman. I never will strike a woman. Mm-hmm. I have been an advocate for women's rights my entire career, and I'm going to continue to be an advocate. I am not going to be intimidated from stopping what I am doing. I am a father to two beautiful, smart, daughters. I would never disrespect them by touching a woman inappropriately or striking a woman.
Wow.
I am looking forward to a full,
full
investigation, at which point I am confident that I will be fully exonerated.
This is a white man. Okay? This is a white man saying this. This is the oppressor saying this. And in the court of Avenatti, you know, in the hashtag Me Too in public opinion nowadays, that court, you know, holding him to the standard that he helped create, is this statement that he just made not, quote, disgusting and offensive to all survivors? Are we not supposed to believe the woman? Are we not supposed to immediately deem him guilty as accused, run him out of the public square, make sure that he never has a job again, that he could never, ever have a good name or even a chance to defend himself? I wonder if all the men and women screaming at Kavanaugh and the GOP senators in elevators can now see the Pandora's box that they actually wanted open. Did he hit this woman? Well, witnesses say he said, "This is BS, this is BS, she hit me first." Now he's on the record saying, "I didn't hit her." Is it possible this woman just made this up? Yes. Yes, it is. Is it possible that he hit her? Yes. Yes, it is. Should we judge him and condemn him and burn him at the stake? Oh, my gosh. My hands are shaking as I try to keep the match in the box. But we wait. And he is innocent until he is found guilty. We have to presume that he is innocent until all of the evidence comes out proving that he's not. By the way, I'm not telling you anything new. You know this. I'm just making sure the record is very, very clear on where constitutionalists stand, where Americans stand. I want the media to hear it very, very clearly. Avenatti is not guilty. We're not saying that he is a spouse abuser, a girlfriend abuser, that he advocates violence against women. We're not saying any of that. Now, I am saying that he's a scumbag. I am saying that he's really, really shady, but that doesn't mean he beats women. See, this is how it works. And when no one else will lead, I guess we will lead. You and I will lead. We're going to set the example, do something extraordinary here, something radical. Let's wait for all of the evidence. We're going to wait for all of the evidence to come out before we convict someone of a crime. That doesn't mean that we don't roll our eyes, we don't laugh, we don't say, "Wow, there is a God. There is such a thing as karma." Doesn't mean we don't say that and kind of revel in it a little bit. But as far as destroying a man's life on this, no, I don't think so. Avenatti, even the worst, get due process that he deserves. But I doubt neither he nor anyone screaming for Kavanaugh's head will realize exactly what's just happened.
It's Thursday, November 15th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Well, hello, Stu.
You seem a little, I don't know what the word is.
What?
There's a German word for it. Mm-hmm. You seem to be celebrating. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you threw in there the idea that maybe he's innocent until proven guilty, because that's the principle behind it, and I know that that's what you believe. I don't know that everybody on the right is feeling that way today, and it's sort of understandable.
No, wait, hold it just a second. No, that's the principle that keeps me anchored. Mm-hmm. That is not the way I feel.
No.
The way I feel, yeah. Let me just say this. When I saw the news report, I did say, I did say that, and I still feel that way. But I am not willing to let a mob surround this guy and destroy him based on these allegations, based on the fact that he is a scumbag attorney based on the fact that he has built this house of cards. And I think this goes, we were talking about this a couple of weeks ago. This goes to who he really is, I think. I mean, this guy kind of just appeared out of nowhere. We don't know who this guy is. He just all of appeared. He's an attorney. He's a very successful attorney. Is he?
I mean, he's been going, every report since has been going bankrupt. He's getting kicked out of his office because he can't pay the rent.
Right.
I mean, it all points to the fact that here's a really desperate guy who saw an opportunity to make a name for himself.
And that doesn't mean that that's what happened. But when you see the clients that he has, you know, pulled in and what he did with Kavanaugh and how he spoke with such a surety.
And I think, you know, obviously I hope mm-hmm. this is some terrible person who is trying to take him out with false allegations. Because mm-hmm. if that's not true, then someone got hit. And I don't want that to be true.
Well, I'll go farther than that. Here's the ultimate scenario here. This is a dirtbag woman making a false charge against a dirtbag guy.
Yeah.
And the best scenario is that she goes to jail and he learns his lesson, because now he's on the other end of people saying, look it, he's an abuser. He is somebody who likes violence against women. We can't have him anywhere near children or our society whatsoever. And maybe he's feeling that a little bit today and going, geez, maybe I shouldn't do that.
I have a spoiler alert. He won't do that. I promise you.
You know, that's what makes it so frustrating.
Yeah.
That's what makes the part of me that says, It makes it almost want to cheer it on and embrace that, because yeah. you know no one will learn their lesson.
But I think Avenatti's a small part of the story. Michael Avenatti is a giant zilch. He's a nothing. He means nothing to us, to this country. He is a giant zero. The problem here is we all knew he was a giant zero the second he got on television the first time.
Yeah.
And these cable news networks put him on. Lawrence O'Donnell said he's basically my co-host. He was a co-host of every show on CNN for about 3 months.
Yeah.
Every single ridiculous thing this guy came up with, they trotted him out on TV with the idea of the ends justify the means. Sure, this guy's saying crazy stuff, but it's helping our cause, which is to take out Donald Trump and Republicans.
So I'm not going to go with names here, but do you remember we had one guest on my Fox show, one guest that one time, and he was supposed to be on with us for a while, and I had never met him. I had my opinion, but I had never met him, and I sat with him, and he was supposed to be on for a couple of breaks. He was on for one break. And I just was so creeped out. Do you remember?
I do. I can't remember who it was, but I do remember. The incident.
So creeped out. And he was creepy off air. And I did not care what he was saying. And he had great stuff about President Obama. I mean, he was just saying everything that would make you feel good. And it said at the end of the break, thank you so much for being on. He left the room and I looked at my staff and I said, never again, never again. Not that person in any source or anything. I don't care. I don't trust him. Nobody's willing to do that.
No, because
they want the win.
And that was the Stormy Daniels thing, right? Like, they obviously had contact. There's some rational reason you could theoretically believe some of the stuff he said about Stormy Daniels, right? Maybe. But the issue with Swetnick was so patently ridiculous from day one. Everyone knew. By the way, they're all saying it now. They're all saying, oh, we knew Avenatti was a dirtbag when we first met him. Oh, we all knew that the Swetnick thing was nonsense when we first met him.
Why did you run it?
Right. They all just ran with it then because then they needed it. They wanted somebody who was going to put this over the top and get Brett Kavanaugh's life ruined and get his Supreme Court seat thrown out with the hope that they could win the Senate here in 2018, which, by the way, if they had handled that better, they may have. And they instead did the ends justify the means calculus and threw this guy on and let him lie and lie and lie and lie and lie and lie every day, every show, over and over and over and over and over and over again with barely any questions to what his story. With a couple of notable exceptions, and they let him do it, And this guy is now revealing who he is. It's not even about just this. The Democrats have abandoned him now because they have realized that the Kavanaugh thing hurt them. And they don't want him anywhere near their race because they all want to be candidates. So they used him during the Kavanaugh thing. They used him during Stormy Daniels when he was valuable. Now he's not, and he's gone.
Well, you know what? He does live in California, so he has somebody else who's really, really lonely, who's been kicked out of the bed and thought they were surrounded by friends. He and Dr. Ford now can commiserate because nobody likes any of them now. Nobody on the left looks at those two at all anymore.
Yeah, when's the last time you heard anyone talking about how she was assaulted and how serious it was and how it needs to be followed up on? I mean, yeah. Was it about Kavanaugh's seat or was it about the assault? Because if it was about the assault, you could still keep going after it.
Yeah.
Remember, there's no statute of limitations on felony assault in the state where this supposedly occurred. They could keep going after it. They could go after it with the police.
Yeah.
You think they care?
No.
They don't care about her at all. They never did.
Because they didn't believe her, and they also didn't believe Michael Avenatti. Nope. They just use people and discard them. And it's despicable.
On both sides. Because they were both using each other.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. All right, here's our, you know, but there's, I mean, there. You want to talk about no loyalty and no loyalty between thieves. I mean, they are really the kind of like, hey, help me rob the bank. As soon as they get the money, they shoot the other one in the head. I mean, it is the worst kind of gang violence in Washington. All right, sponsor this half hour is X Chair. How you doing in your X chair, Stu?
Very comfortable, Glenn. Every day.
Thank you.
In my X chair. We've improved the situation in this studio quite a bit. It's still 44 degrees below zero. Unfortunately, X chair can't solve that one. But they can solve you being comfortable in your seat while you're shivering.
Yeah, he always has something to complain about. Anybody notice that? Anyway, X chair makes the perfect gift for the hardworking employee or your spouse. My wife said the other day, and she's blown it because now I can't get her this because she's expecting this now. And if I don't give it to her, though, and she's expecting it, then there's never any way to win at Christmas. I mean, if you're a guy, I just don't think there's any way to ever win. There's none.
I don't want anything. You know what? You could give me an X chair.
And then you get the chair or you get whatever, and then like,
oh, that's nice.
That's what you wanted.
Yeah, I know.
What?
Well, I mean, you know, you kind of knew what I wanted. I kind of wanted to see what you thought.
Oh, my gosh. X chair.
I just want a gift registry. Just pop it on a gift registry. Right, I'll get you something off of it.
You're right. I'll take two of those. How many do you want? Two, three? What do you want?
There you go.
Okay, whatever. Here's the credit card. Go. Anyway, xchairbeck.com. xchairbeck.com. Really comfortable chair. Very, very stylish. Really well made. It's xchairbeck.com. Go there now. Use the promo code Beck. You're going to get a free footrest with this. Plus, it comes with a 30-day, no questions asked guarantee of satisfaction. Go to xchairbeck.com now. Use the promo code Beck, B-E-C-K. You get the free footrest. I think it's $100 off as well, as always, at xchairbeck.com. You know, Stu and I are in lockstep here. We think when countries get together, it's a good thing. You know?
Yeah, it's called working together, making sure that you can improve the world.
Right.
With a partner. I think that's always
like, for instance, it's great when Italy and Germany get together for a dinner. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Germans can make good, you know, good food.
Can they?
Well, no. No, they can't. The Italians make the good food, but make crappy desserts. But the Germans make crappy food, but make delicious desserts.
And they bring the alcohol.
And you have wine to start with the Italians.
Wine, beer, I mean.
But you don't want to combine those two on anything else. Just dinner. It's why my wife and I get along so well.
Can they do the dinner? Can they send each other the food? Can they Uber Eats it to each other? Because I really don't want them in the same room.
Yeah, maybe.
Things don't turn out well.
Now, here's another prime example of people getting together. China and Venezuela.
Oh, that's great.
Right, I can't think of anything that could go wrong there.
General Tso and arepas working together.
Right,
it's a great.
Right.
That's
what is an arepa?
An arepa is
something that Harvey Weinstein is
naming. Yes,
yes,
thank you. It is a. Here's how I would describe it: two giant corn muffins in bun shape. Mm-hmm. Okay, so like if you're like a hamburger bun, like they're two like circular,
it's like cornmeal.
Yeah, and it's like a corn muffin type thing. Okay, yeah, cornmeal. Right. And then they slather it with butter.
I love this.
And they grill it on both sides, so it's nice and hot and crispy. Mm-hmm. And in the middle, they dump whatever you want. So like the one, my favorite version of this is just a cheese one, and they dump it. So it's a basically almost like a giant grilled cheese made with corn muffins.
Mm-hmm.
Now that is not an authentic description, I'm sure, but that is the one that I ate, and it was delicious.
Okay, that's
Venezuelan
food. I think
if I ate one more, I would have been dead.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So we don't mean to rub, you know, the nose of, you know, no food in, you know, in the Venezuelans' faces here, mm-hmm. as Stu is describing, you know, what sounds very delicious that I'm sure the people used to have. Yeah. But now China is coming in, and they're gonna help. And they're gonna help Maduro. He said he's reached out to China, and he said, "Hey, I love your new monitoring system that you're doing with your citizens. Can you help me? Because my citizens are starting to get a little out of control." Mm. And so now China is bringing technology over to Maduro to help keep the peace on the streets of Venezuela.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So anybody who bought a raffle ticket yesterday at mercury1.org to win a brand new car, we draw for the car tomorrow. But anybody who bought in the last day, we are going to draw a name out of those. And somebody is going to get a call here, I think, in about 2 hours from me. We're going to fly you in and put you up. And
so if you know the count and the amount?
No, you just don't know. You don't have to
You don't have to know the count
or
the
amount?
You
just have to answer your phone. That's
wait,
it.
Wait, what about the phrase that pays?
No, there is no phrase that pays.
No?
No.
You just have to know part of the phrase that pays?
The Glenn Beck Program plays the hottest hits of yesterday, today, tomorrow.
Next week, next month, next year.
Right. The 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and tomorrow.
And Glenn and Stu in the morning.
And Pat on the podcast. Okay. So anyway, there's our phrase that pays. You have to remember that. But also, if you would like to, we're going to do it again. We don't have any more tickets left for the gala for tomorrow, but we would like to.
We are sold out on the gala.
Yes. Mm. So if you would like to, join us here for, is it 12 score and 2 years ago? What I named this damn thing, and now I can't remember what it's called.
My name is Stu, when my real name is Steve, so I'm familiar with
how this process works. I don't know, but we're doing, I think it's 12 score and 2 years ago or whatever it is.
It's a great catchy name, Pat. I mean, I almost want to buy a shirt.
Well,
that's the name of Saturday Night's Activity?
No. That's the museum that is coming out. We're doing this museum in February, during the month of February, here at the studios, and it's African American history. It's highly controversial, apparently.
Because you're a white person doing it?
I guess. I guess that's why, you know, and people think that, you know, Glenn Beck, he's just a Republican hack and he's going to. No. And we're actually working with the African American Heritage Museum here. How dare you? I know.
How dare you bring African American history to light?
Yeah. But the African American history that we're going to be showing is quite remarkable. It's not going to be the stuff that you always see. It's going to be quite remarkable. And anyway, if you buy a raffle ticket today at mercury1.org, you buy a raffle ticket, you could win the car on Saturday, but also we're going to be selecting and pulling a name, I think tomorrow, and we're going to be flying you in, and you'll get a private VIP tour with me through that in February. So if you'd like to get away from it all sometime in February, buy a raffle ticket. And we'll bring you down. You can do that at mercury1.org/M1. So, Pat, I know conservatives didn't really think that this, you know, caravan thing was anything. We were just trumping it up for, pardon the pun, for the election. Mm-hmm. And once the election happens, we're never going to talk about it again.
Because we never. never talked about it before.
No, it was never a problem.
Every day for about 10 years.
Right.
Other than that, we never spoke of it. We don't care about the border at all.
Right. So yesterday, something very interesting happened. In fact, something that CNN and MSNBC and everybody else, in fact, Shepard Smith, said wasn't going to happen.
Oh, it's months away and hundreds and hundreds of miles
and
away.
It's never going to happen.
And then all of a sudden, they're climbing the fence at the border in San Diego.
Yesterday.
Hello. Yeah. Hi. Welcome. Yeah. Hey, that's great.
Yeah.
And of course, they weren't going to climb the fence because they were all here seeking asylum, and they were just going to be admitted because they're asylum seekers.
Right. And I noticed all the mothers with their babies that were up on top of the
man.
Fence.
Yeah, lots of babies climbing that fence. Lots of babies.
Right. So anyway, this came in. The caravan had how many buses?
Well, yesterday's was, I don't know how many, but there were 400 people in the buses. Okay. Now, the caravan that's about to arrive is 22 more buses filled with 900 more people. Mm-hmm. And then there's three more caravans behind
now,
that.
Let me ask you, and three more caravans behind that. Now, let me ask you this. This... definitely not an invasion force.
No.
This is just poor oppressed people that just have no money or influence at all. How did they afford the buses? And it's my understanding.
Isn't that curious?
They were staying at one of the
really
nicer
hotels.
Yeah. In Tijuana. I don't. Where do they get the money for that?
Maybe that's a relative thing, a nice hotel in Tijuana.
Could be $8.
Maybe.
Yeah, but
maybe
again,
it's a Super 8.
$8.
That's still $8.
It's $8.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the other thing is they don't have any connections. And, of course, we learned from CNN that Mexico is going to stop this before it happens.
Except for Mexico sent the federales, the state and federal troops to escort them to the border.
Oh.
That was so convenient for them.
So the buses had a
law enforcement
procession,
escort.
An escort.
Yeah.
But my understanding was, Pat, these caravans were hundreds of miles away.
Hundreds of miles.
And that's accurate, right?
And then, they're at the border now with San Diego. The Tijuana and San Diego border.
San Diego is hundreds of miles from where we are. So maybe that's what they meant.
It is.
Is that?
Yeah. In fact, Iowa is hundreds of miles away from where we are.
Right, so
we never really have to worry about them.
Oh, wow. Great.
And if you brought this up, of course, you were fear-mongering. Mm-hmm. We were mongering in fear. And I don't know a single person who's afraid of these immigrants. I don't know anybody who's actually scared.
Can we stop calling
them
immigrants?
It's concern.
They're not.
They're illegal
immigrants.
Aliens.
They're illegal aliens. They're illegals. When
immigrants,
you come here,
that denotes something lawful.
Yes, you come in here because you want to be a part of our country. You're not trying to make a political point. You want to come and add to whatever it is that we're doing here in America that you can't find any place else. And you ask for permission to come in. Right. And hopefully we say yes.
And
that's immigration.
It has to be that way, no matter what your circumstances are, because it's chaos otherwise. And that's what we have at the border right now, chaos. And the left, the mainstream media is just yelling at everybody who's concerned about this. And saying, well, look, we already have thousands of people that come across the border every day. Right. And this
That's
isn't
the problem.
Instead of that. This is in addition to that.
Right.
Do you understand that?
Right.
They didn't take the place of the other illegal immigrants.
And those guys
coming.
Come in at night.
Yeah.
These guys are announcing it and
they
saying,
don't care what
we don't
the president
care
has said.
What your laws are,
don't care.
We're coming in.
Because there's that brazen sort of escalation here, right? Like,
yes.
There's that, you know, this happened, we've seen this before, right? Like, there are people living in the shadows, and they're hiding, and they're trying to work every day.
They're not in
the
shadows.
But then there was another group that they'll come out and do rallies. Maybe 20,000 people who are illegal immigrants walking down the street, daring immigration officials to do anything about it. And that is another step. It's an escalation.
But isn't this the same thing that we're talking about? I'm so sick of this CNN lawsuit with the president. And I know it just happened yesterday, but I can't take it. What is the president supposed to do if you're in a press conference? Mm-hmm. If there isn't any rule. Like on the border now, no rules. You just don't care what the law's in. Oh, you've got guns. Oh, you have troops. We don't care. We're coming anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. We don't want you. We don't care. We have a right to be in your country. There's no law. What are you going to do?
They're doing the same thing. Jim Acosta is doing the same thing that the migrants are. These people who are coming up in the caravan, they are daring the government to do the worst. Mm-hmm. Now, yesterday in the court, they were saying, well, CNN's attorneys, the president sets the tone. And the reporters often ask for, you know, a follow-up question.
Yeah, but he did four follow-up questions.
And he didn't
And he would not sit down.
Correct. The president says, sit down. Sit down. We're done.
He
sit down.
Disrupted the press conference.
Correct.
You can't have that going on day after day.
And if there was, if there are no rules, how do you have a press conference? Mm-hmm. If everybody is just incentivized to get their question in and they can hold court and hold on to the president's attention and filibuster, how is anybody going to else ask a question? How do you control anything? Mm-hmm. You don't. This is anarchy. This is chaos.
There are only two options here, though. I mean, basically, if you're CNN, you either have to admit that your reporter is a douche, which he is. Completely. You mm-hmm. have to just say, like, look, he was obviously awful in that situation and we're punishing him or firing him or whatever. Or you're going to have to fight it with all your might, because you can't let the precedent be set that every time the president doesn't like something that your reporter says, that they're going to pull his credentials.
That's the bone of contention, though.
Yeah.
If it's he didn't like something he said, then it's a violation of the First Amendment. If it's he's disrupting the press conference for everybody else, which he was.
And is it right. The president's attorney yesterday, I thought the Justice Department did a poor job. The Justice Department came in and said the president could kick anybody out at any time for any reason.
That's not a good reason.
No, that's not.
Is it a First Amendment violation, though? I don't know how you make that case
because Jim Acosta hasn't been denied saying anything. He can still go on CNN and say whatever he wants.
That's First Amendment speech. This is freedom of the press.
Freedom of the press, but so he still has the freedom.
But the Blaze doesn't have a reporter there.
They could send somebody else.
Correct.
Right? Like, I mean, we don't have any access to that room.
And CNN could send somebody else.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the deal. And that's the case they should have made. Look, the president is not trying to silence CNN. The president is not trying to say that he can't come. What the president is saying is there is decorum. There is decorum. When the president says, we're done, we're moving on, you cannot grandstand and hijack the
room.
And
they didn't argue it that way?
No, they didn't.
That's bad.
No one gets screwed in this situation, to me, more than the other reporters in the room. Because Jim Acosta takes up all the time, and he asks all the questions, and he tries to get all the attention for himself.
Right.
And it doesn't help the other reporters.
But because they hate Trump so much.
They hate Trump so much,
they
can buy him.
Acosta.
Yeah, I mean, I will say, like, I don't like this approach, particularly by the administration. I would much rather have them... You know, he had the mic in his hand.
I think
next time, he doesn't get called on. And he doesn't get the mic. So he can sit there and blab all he wants.
He's going to, if this judge says okay, he's going to be emboldened. Now, CNN is going to bring it to a higher judge no matter what.
Of course.
Yesterday in their reporting, they were like, we just want you to know this is a Trump appointed judge who seemed to cut CNN's argument off quite a bit
They don't have an argument here, do they? I mean, I'm not.
If the argument is that the president can do anything he wants to the press,
I think
you lose.
Yeah.
If the argument was, it wasn't yesterday, at least that I read, and it should have been, if the argument is the president, and this was argued by the judge, I think the judge brought this up and said, you know, look, there has to be decorum. And CNN said, well, the president sets that tone and he's the biggest bully in the room. And, you know, if it's going to be he said, she said, and if he's going to be a bully, then I can be one, too, because he started it. I slapped her first or she slapped me first kind of thing.
Right.
You know, that's he's going to lose.
My biggest problem with this, though, is that Jim Acosta has literally no interest in what is going on in that room. What Jim Acosta cares about is raising the profile of Jim Acosta.
Yeah.
And what has happened here is we have raised the profile of Jim Acosta.
Yeah. The other problem is
he's now on the equal plane in a battle with the president of the United States.
Trump loves it too, though. That's the other problem.
Is that
they both love it.
Because why?
So.
Because why? We're not talking about things we should be talking about.
Yeah.
We are talking about this crap.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it polarizes us and it makes us into teams. We, you know, we're sitting here falling into the trap. Hopefully we are keeping this based on principles. This is not a First Amendment violation. Unless the president says, I'm going to get rid of you because I don't like your point of view. The president can't do that. That's freedom of the press. They should be able to ask uncomfortable questions.
Right.
But they should do it with respect. And if the president says, I'm done, I'm done. And now you can read into that. The president cut us off. The president wouldn't say anymore. The president is stonewalling. That's what they always do. That is the way our system works. Thanks, Pat. Pat Gray Unleashed is happening on the podcast. You can hear him every day wherever you look for podcasts and online and also on the network, theblazeradio.com. Okay, Liberty Safe. Liberty Safe, just the best. If I were in a California house and I needed to make sure that I had documents or anything that I needed that were safe, I would have them in a Liberty Safe. They have sold more than 2 million safes, and they've done it for a reason. Liberty Safe leads the industry in technology and innovation. They have exclusive figures like military-style locking bars and heat-expanding fire seals that's second to none. When you have things, even if they're just pictures of the kids, that you just don't want destroyed in a fire, this is really the safe that you want. Liberty Safe. It's an unbeatable product that you can count on to protect the things that matter most to you: jewelry, cash, documents, also your guns. It's Liberty Safe. Become a Liberty Safe owner today. They offer 12-month interest-free financing on approved credit. Check out all of their deals going on right now at libertysafe.com. That's libertysafe.com. So, you know, I said, my father said to me at one point, you're going to turn out just like me. And I said, no, I'm never going to be like you. And I realize I'm turning out just like him because I come home at night and I realize I really don't want to do anything. It's like the chair in our living room by the TV is like a black hole, and I get too close to it and I cannot resist the gravity. It pulls me to it. And, you know, I have become my father, who used to come home and he would watch a little bit of TV and then he would fall dead asleep in his chair.
In the chair with a recliner with the feet up?
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And
that's America. That's what
it
that is.
And I like that. And I feel a little bad for my family because, you know, they want to do stuff like, hey, right, let's play a game. No.
Well, no, we all feel bad for your family too, but I think it's separate. It's a separate reason.
Separate, yeah,
yeah. No, okay. I think there's a big part of me that just wants to sit down,
yeah,
and just put your feet up and watch TV,
yeah,
and just never turn your brain on again.
Yeah, thank you.
Right?
Yes, you made me feel a little bit better about myself.
Yeah.
So at least I'm not alone.
It's a terrible instinct, but it is an instinct.
Back in a minute.
Glenn Beck.
Well, it's been a busy week for the former first ladies, for current first lady Melania Trump, but it has also been a busy one for the woman who 20-odd years ago, while working at the White House for then the then president at the age of 21, shot to fame in the most embarrassing way possible. The name, of course, we all know. In fact, her last name has become a verb, Monica Lewinsky. She has released the, quote, Clinton Affair docuseries that premieres this weekend on A&E. It's a 6-part series examining the cringe-inducing days and months surrounding her affair with Bill Clinton. In an article in Vanity Fair earlier this year, she wrote this: some closest to me asked why I would want to revisit the most painful and traumatic parts of my life again, publicly, on camera, with no control on how it would be used. A bit of a head scratcher, as my brother is fond of saying. Do I wish I could erase my years in D.C. from my memory, eternal sunshine of the spotless mind style? Well, is the sky blue? I can't.
And in order to move forward in life, I must take risks, both professional and emotional. An important part of my moving forward is excavating, and often painfully, what has gone before. When politicians are asked uncomfortable questions, they often duck and dodge by saying, that's old news, it's from the past. Yes, but that's exactly where we need to start to heal, with the past, but it isn't easy. She added, filming the documentary forced me to acknowledge to myself past behavior that I still regret and feel ashamed of. I think this is a really good thing. There are many, many, many moments when I question not just the decision to participate, but my sanity itself. Despite all the ways I tried to protect my mental health, it was still challenging. During one therapy session, I told my therapist I was feeling especially depressed. She suggested that sometimes what we experience as depression is actually grief. Yes, it was grief. The process of this docuseries led me to new rooms of shame that I still need to explore. Meanwhile, Bill Clinton, the man who has been accused of all sorts of terrible, terrible things, a close friend of Harvey Weinstein, recently admitted that he didn't feel the need to apologize to Lewinsky. Lewinsky disagrees. I'm less disappointed by him and more disappointed for him. He would have been a better man for it, and we in turn a better society. The hashtag MeToo movement has been a wrecking ball for so many men. Yet Bill Clinton, perhaps the most prolific of them all, has escaped unscathed. But perhaps that begins to change with this docuseries.
It's Thursday, November 15th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Stu, I don't know how we're supposed to feel. I don't know what the politically correct thing is to feel. But the more I see Monica Lewinsky, the more I like her. And the more empathy I have for her. Who didn't make stupid moves when they were 21? Can you imagine whatever it is, the worst thing you've ever done in your life, if that was all you were known for?
Yeah.
And it would never go away. And you couldn't have, I mean, how does she have a regular relationship? I mean, as a guy, you're married to Monica Lewinsky. How many jokes if you're dating her?
That would be agonizing.
It would be horrible.
Yeah. And you know what? I think one of the reasons why she comes off as likable is she seems to be the only one in that entire situation who's actually wrestled with what occurred. Right? Like, Bill Clinton has never shown any true understanding of what happened there. Hillary Clinton has never wrestled with what happened, I think, from her perspective, when she was basically trying to, you know, beat these women into oblivion politically to make them go away, to preserve her husband's career. She really seems to have done soul searching. And she's not just coming out and saying, I'm a victim and look at me. I'm the new face of Me Too. Right. Like, she's saying, I did some things, you know, really terrible things, and I shouldn't have done them, and I feel terrible about them, and I have called and written people that I wronged at the time to apologize, and I think she seems to really have a good
she's a remarkable woman. Let's play a couple of clips from this. Just play clip number one here, Sarah.
There was a point for me somewhere in this sort of first several hours where I would be hysterically crying and then I would just shut down. And in the shutdown period, I remember looking out the window and thinking that the only way to fix this was to kill myself, was to jump out the window. Mm. And I felt terrible. I was scared and I was mortified and afraid of what this was going to do to my family. And, you know, I still was in love with Bill at the time. So I felt really responsible.
I mean, that's...
Wow.
She felt responsible for giving him problems, right? She was so in love with him. That she felt, and she said this in another point too, that she didn't come out and speak out about it initially because she
didn't want to cause problems.
She was okay with him denying the affair initially because she didn't want to cause problems for him. That's a tough. I mean, look, again, she admits that she did wrong here. He was worse, obviously. He was the one that's required to not do things like that. I mean, you know, she did something wrong, though, too, and she admits that. But I mean, that is a brutal moment, you know. I mean, and you can imagine it's nonstop for her. The entire country is talking about her. You know, Bill Clinton's the president of the United States. He's used to this sort of stuff. He has a capacity to deal with it at some level. You're just some intern who rolls in there and gets out of control and does something stupid, and then your entire life is defined by it. That is really, I mean,
I want you to could I play that clip one more time? But I want you to listen to it with a different ear, because this is what struck me. This was happening when we were doing morning radio. Were you with me at that time? Probably not.
Yeah, no, I was. You're I was there. There, yeah. And then we did, you know, we did the trial. We did a whole show based on the trial. Yeah.
And I can't recall, but I'm sure I made Lewinsky jokes.
Oh, I'm sure we did.
Everybody
in America was making them.
Everybody. I want you to just put yourself right now, real quick, back in that time of what you were doing and saying at the time. And now listen to what she was going through at the same time we were doing whatever it is we were all engaged in. Listen one more time.
There was a point for me somewhere in this sort of first several hours where I would be hysterically crying and then I would just shut down. And in the shutdown period, I remember looking out the window and thinking that the only way to fix this was to kill myself, was to jump out the window. And I felt terrible. I was scared and I was mortified and afraid of what this was going to do to my family. And, you know, I still was in love with Bill at the time. So I felt really responsible. Mm.
As we were just arguing about, he lied. He's a dirtbag. He shouldn't be president. She was worried about her family. She was contemplating suicide because she just wanted it to stop. How many of us took the time or were Christ-like enough to be able to say, she's a human being. Wait a minute. Hang on just a second. This is a human being. This isn't about politics when it comes to her. Think of how she was run through the mud. And nobody really cared about her. I don't think anybody really cared about her. It was all about him. Nobody really cared about her.
Yeah, you know, interesting. She never really was an ally of the right. Where, you know, sometimes where you have like, you know, if someone accused Barack Obama of an affair and was outward and speaking about it, like Stormy Daniels is with Trump, right?
Yes,
like
yes.
Stormy Daniels feels, I'm sure, to the left like an ally because she's trying to take the president down. Monica Lewinsky never was like that. You remember, it was Linda Tripp who recorded her. It was the whole reason why a lot of this stuff came out. She didn't go to the, she didn't try to destroy his career with this information.
No,
at any
she
point.
Just knew. She talked to Linda Tripp, if I'm not mistaken, because she knew she was in trouble.
Some of the other accusers were more outspoken.
Right.
I mean, you know, Paula Jones and those who became figures that were at least accepted by half the country. Monica Lewinsky, because she never really aligned herself with the right in the effort to take Clinton down, she had no allies because, of course, the Democrats abandoned her immediately. And, you know, she became just the butt of jokes. I don't know that I ever realized it. It's a really interesting way you put that, to listen to it with that ear, because I don't know that I ever realized it with that case. And that case was a long time ago, but we were, I'm sure, making jokes and stuff like everybody
was. I know
was.
We were. It had to have been. Everybody was.
John Ronson was a guy, and we've had him on a few times, who wrote a book about more in the social media era. These people, these random stories you hear that bubble up for one day. But, you know, the woman, the famous, most famous one is the woman who made the joke about AIDS in Africa, trying to mock the fact that we didn't care about Africa enough.
But she was going over to Africa on a plane to go help.
She was going over to help, and she was on the plane when the tweet blew up, went viral, and her life was basically ruined. And you read stories like that, and you realize when this thing that seems fun to give snarky comments to on the web, there's somebody there just suffering through that moment. It's the worst moment of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
I know you've done this with several of these situations. The one that pops into my head was James Gunn, the guy who did Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
And they unearthed some tweets of his that were not ones he wanted to represent. His current character, and he lost that gig. We're talking, this is an 8-figure, gig for him. And you are on Twitter saying, like, look, I understand, and I think a lot of people on the right did go after him for that because he was a left wing celebrity and he was critical of people like Ben Shapiro. But I mean, in those moments, if you can kind of get over that desire to feel that emotion. I think you wind up being a better person for it.
I think you do. And this brings me to something else. Monica Lewinsky now, that's all she is. It's like Brett Kavanaugh. That's all he'll be. Yeah. He'll be that moment. Doesn't matter how long he lives for the rest of his life. Clarence Thomas, pubic hair. That's all he is. He will always have that attached. There's something that's happening in Europe, and I find it viscerally the right thing, but intellectually, absolutely the wrong thing. Now in Europe, they are claiming there is another human right that all humans deserve, and that is the right to be forgotten. Now think of this. Monica Lewinsky, the case would be, she has a right to be forgotten. She shouldn't have to live her entire life apologizing or being shaped by one event in her life when she was 21 years old. She has a right to be forgotten. And because of the internet, it never goes away. It's always there. And so you don't have a chance to start over again. And I really do believe this is something that we have to address, because our memories, they work to our advantage. I mean, our memories soften. We think of our childhood years as better years, most of us, even though they weren't. They weren't. We just see them differently. Time eases things. But when you have the internet, and it is right there in your face, and it's always that thing, you don't ever move. If you're big enough, if that mistake was big enough, like Monica Lewinsky, she can never move on from that. Now, they're passing laws in Europe, but the problem with it is, well, then are you erasing history? You can't erase history. But how do we balance this? How do we balance the right to be forgotten with the right to record history as it really truly was? We have no separation from the history now, and that's the real problem. I mean, the easy way to look at this is just become a progressive, and then all of your sins are always forgotten. They'll never bring it up again. It was never recorded in the first place. It's like it never happened. My Patriot Supply is the sponsor this half hour. And I don't know if you are following this, but there's a term in economics. It's the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And I can't remember what they all are, but we've triggered all four of them now. You know, It's inflation, it's energy prices have to go down, inflation has to go up, manufacturing has to go down, and I can't remember what the last one was. We're hitting all four horsemen of the apocalypse, and that just means that there's going to be trouble on the horizon. And if you look around the world at how close the world is just to insanity, you might want to consider reevaluating what you have prepared for your family. May I suggest preparewithglenn.com? The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. These guys are really, really great, and they're offering the lowest price of the year on two popular emergency food kits. Right now, you can go to preparewithglenn.com and see both of them and order. Now, these food kits include breakfast, lunch, and dinners for days, weeks, months, up to you.
They last up to 25 years in storage. Your family will be protected. You're not going to have to worry about chaos if it hits. Preparing with My Patriot Supply is a smart thing to do. Do it now. Preparewithglenn.com. Go there now. Preparewithglenn.com. Welcome to the program. Glad you've tuned in today. Catherine Harris is going to be on with us. I don't think I have talked to Catherine Harris in at least a decade, and probably approaching two. She was the Secretary of State in Florida. Mm-hmm. She oversaw the recount in Florida in 2001, and
2000 mostly.
Yeah, I'm sorry, 2000. Mm-hmm. I met her for the first time because of the recount at the first speech I ever had to give as a talk show host, and I'd never really been on stage before to talk and give a speech. I'd never done that. And Jeb Bush was the governor. She was the Secretary of State. And I had to, I think, open for those two. And I think I had to give maybe 20 minutes. And there were 500 people there, maybe. It was the Lincoln dinner speech. This is like 6 or 8 months before September 11th. And I met the limo driver a few years ago, and he says, "You don't remember me, do you?" And I said, "I'm sorry, I don't." He said, "I drove you to the first speech you ever gave." And he said, "I had to drive you from Tampa to, I don't remember where it was." And he said, "I thought I was going to have to stop the car because I thought you were going to vomit several times." And I remember I was like, "I can't do this." Tanya was with me. I'm like, I don't want to do this. And I'll never do this again. I don't know why I accepted this. I'll never do this again. And I gave the speech and I drove all the way home. Okay, we dodged a bullet. I'm never going to talk in public again. I hate this.
Since then, you've made a few speeches, I've noticed.
I've made a few speeches. Yeah. And now I think I must have prepared for that for days and days and days. And I just gave a speech in Bermuda. And, I had spent the night working on it. And Stu, you know, because you've helped write so many of my speeches. And I was standing there and I wrote this one all myself, and I look at it and I'm getting ready to walk out, and I just look at it and I'm like, there's not a chance in hell I'm going to use a single word of this. And just gave a speech without any, you know, just kind of let it go where it was going. And I can't believe how much time can change a person.
Yeah. I mean, that's because you, as someone who spent a lot of time writing speeches for you and then watched them get just basically tossed on the ground or ignored.
Yeah.
We could have
run a whole nother episode of the Fox show just on, based on the stuff that was in the teleprompter that I never used.
Oh, my gosh. Easily.
Whole shows. Fox wanted to, they wanted to know what I was going to say in advance. You know, please, can we need to look at the script beforehand. So we would produce a script every day. But many times I would walk in and go, yeah, not going to use any of that. Turn it all off. And it would be 3 minutes before the show. What are we going to do? Just follow me. And the writers who had spent, you know, Stu, Pat, Dan Andros at the time, they weren't happy. They weren't happy because they had spent all day working on that.
Yeah, I remember doing that a lot. It was not fun.
Yeah.
Not fun. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Just taking you down memory lane of all the good times. Anyway, Catherine Harris is going to come on and talk a little bit about what is happening with the overheated counting machines now. Florida is supposed to have an answer today. Are they going to have one? I've been sleeping on my Casper mattress for a while, and I would pick it over any mattress that I have ever had. In fact, I did pick it. I bought it, sent it to my house. I tried it for, I think, 5 days. I actually was honest, which I don't know if everybody appreciates this, but I said, I'm not sure I like it. Well, it took me a few more days before I really started to have my body settle down. I love this bed. It is Casper. It's a no-brainer. All you have to do is just order it and try it for 100 nights. If you don't have the experience that I have, they come and pick it up and they refund every single dime. So put Casper to the test in your home. The only way to test a mattress is by sleeping on it night after night, risk-free. For 100 nights, Casper.com/Glenn and use the promo code GLENN. That'll get you $50 towards the purchase of your brand new mattress at Casper.com/Glenn. Promo code Glenn. Get $50 off the purchase of select mattresses at Casper.com/Glenn.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
In about an hour from now, I could be calling you. If you happen to buy a raffle ticket yesterday for the Mercury One gala that is happening on Saturday, if you bought a raffle ticket, I'm going to draw somebody's name, and it could be you, and I'm going to call you up in about an hour and have you come on down. You're going to you've won the VIP tickets to the ball, which is about $750, but you get a kind of extra thing because you're going to be sitting at Stu's table, and you're going to be hanging out with me and Stu and Pat and everybody from the Blaze. And you're actually saving Pat from game night. So that's really,
yeah, you mentioned that.
Yeah. Pat has a Pat's wife makes him play games on Sunday, and, he likes that about as much as I would. And so
it's anyway. Not sitting. So, you know, well, yeah, I mean, he may be sitting while playing the game, but he has to think.
Yeah. You have to think, mm-hmm. You have to talk
right
to people.
And that's not what he wants to do.
It's not just any people. It's family.
So that's going to, that tells you about how much interaction you're going to have with Pat.
Yeah.
When he's at the ball, yeah. He'll probably be just staring at the wall, but it's great to sit next to Pat as he's staring, yeah, at the wall.
So I don't know how my kids are going to remember me, because they were at the house the other night, I think Monday or Tuesday, and we're all laying on the bed and we're all laughing and joking and everything. And then it's time for everybody to leave. And, I don't have a problem saying, okay, everybody get out of my house. And, they're like, okay, Dad, we're going. I'm like, no, I mean it. Right now, get out. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure exactly how my family is going to remember all of that. But I mean it with love, but I sincerely also mean it. Get out. Get out. It's time now to move on. And for me to go to bed, basically, you know, or sit in my chair. And I could sit in my chair and watch, you know, some Netflix show and fall asleep. I'm fine with that, too.
Sounds delightful.
But for you talking to me, I've had my fill. We've had about 2.5 hours. That's good. I'm good. I'm full up.
So now that we've sold you on an evening with us.
Yeah.
You want to enter right now?
So today you can buy a raffle ticket and you can hang out with us as much fun as we are. I think it's in February. This one is... this one is for 4 Score. Hang on. My daughter sent it to me because she knows what it is. It's 4 Score, 12 Score, and 3 years ago.
What? Explain what this name is.
Okay, so this is, it's based on, you know, 4 Score and, yeah, 7 years ago. It's now been 12 score and 3 years since the signing of the Declaration of Independence. So because we have the Gettysburg Address and everything else coming down again, and this is about slavery, I thought it would be... clever.
You thought it would be clever to name it something that you don't understand.
Completely, I can't remember what it is. Mm-hmm. So it's...
That's pretty clever. I'll give you that.
It's very clever. So it's a 12 score and 3 years ago. And you can come on down. We're going to fly you down. We'll put you up in a nice hotel. I can't guarantee the hotel. It could be spotty. I don't know. It could be spotty.
I don't think it's going to be spotty.
Well, you never know. You know, the economy could turn. You know, anything could happen. Mm-hmm. You'll be here for the opening of this museum exhibit that is happening in February. All you have to do is buy a raffle ticket. You also get the extra added feature that this is a secondary raffle. It's only going to happen for the people who buy a ticket today. The cutoff is midnight Eastern time. And if you buy a raffle ticket for Mercury One at mercuryone.org/M1ball, you buy the lottery ticket Saturday, you could win a brand new Mercedes. Tomorrow, I could call you and say, congratulations, you're coming down to spend the day with us. And that'll be kind of a history thing. We have really cool history happening.
Did you put a question mark at the end of congratulations?
Yes, I did. Because I don't know. You may be like, I just want to give the money and I don't want to see you guys.
Yeah. We're not going to force you to come. Yeah, just so you know.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
That's one big thing. And we're not going to make you come to the event. We're happy to let you stay home if you wish. It's just...
So we're stalling here because Catherine Harris is supposed to be on with us. Do we have any update on her whereabouts? She's not coming on.
Not yet.
She probably thought it was next. She's in Florida, you know. She probably thought it was next hour.
We have found that counting is hard in Florida.
Yes, that's what I was thinking. You don't know. Yeah. Is it 9? Is it 10? Is it 11? Is it, you know, 3? I don't know.
I do have another example of how hard counting is, mm-hmm. If we could get to that. We're going to do it today, but maybe we can move it into this slot because it does kind of fit here. Math is hard. math is a difficult thing. Okay,
when I think I know where you're going, and I love that you're going here.
Sometimes we work really hard and we try to get the math right, and sometimes just doesn't work out.
Well,
that way.
That's why we have a margin of error.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Right.
This, however, did not fall into the
because you need a margin of error because sometimes you know you can be wrong by 3%, 2%.
You can. That's
you know
right.
What I mean, mm-hmm. And so that margin of error, we all understand.
Well, there was a study that came out a few weeks ago, and it was in the science journal Nature. Now, this is one of the most prestigious scientific journals.
Yeah, it's a big one, yeah.
Heavy peer review goes into this process.
Yeah, you
this
don't just get something published in Nature where it's...
gold standard here.
Yeah.
And what happened is it was about global warming and how the Earth's oceans are warming faster than previously thought.
Mm.
And they were very sure of this. They went through, they laid out all of their work. And one of these, and you know how this happens... one of these climate deniers got a hold of
the
study.
Those guys.
Oh,
are they still? We are not picking them up and throwing them in jail yet.
I don't know why.
Okay,
I think they should all be in prison.
Okay,
if not worse.
So what did this guy do?
So this guy decided to like check the math.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I mean
science denier,
typical science denier,
right?
Because as we know, science should be published and never questioned again.
Exactly right.
When you find out something like the Earth is flat, you go with it forever. You
know what
question
you need
it.
To do is when you hand in it, kids, if you're listening and you have a math paper that has to go in, turn it to the teacher. If she comes back and says, hey, these answers are not right, you just say science denier.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I mean, who is she to check your math?
That works really well.
Exactly right.
So this study was published on behalf of Princeton University. With institutions in China, Paris, Germany, and the U.S. National Center for Atmospheric Research and Geophysical Fluid Dynamics Laboratory.
I don't think they have a mathematician.
No, I'm sure not.
Uh-uh.
What they found was the certainty of the study, not quite as certain as they thought. What they discovered was, and the evil climate denier is the one who found this out, that their estimates of how sure they were completely wrong. In fact, it was 10 to 70% wrong.
So the margin of error usually is about 3%, but this could be as high as 70%.
70%. To their credit, they have now come out and recognized that the evil climate skeptic was actually right, and they are submitting corrections to the study. This one guy, all of those places looked at it, all the peer review went on, they all got it wrong. This one guy looked at it and said, wait a minute, that doesn't look right. Pointed the error out. And to their credit, they are actually correcting it now.
That's great. Okay, Catherine Harris is on with us. I got to take a quick break and then we'll come to her so I don't have to interrupt her at all. Because I want to hear what the heck is happening in Florida. And she'll have the scoop for us. Catherine Harris from Florida used to be the Secretary of State down in Florida and was in charge and overseeing the elections of 2000. And we all know how that went. All right, our sponsor this half hour is Goldline. Led by Nancy Pelosi, Maxine Waters, the Democrats are expected to launch a full-throttle attack on the president. Newly emboldened Democrats are already preparing, what do they call it, a subpoena cannon?
A subpoena cannon.
Subpoena
yes.
cannon. Mm-hmm. They are already preparing all of these subpoenas. How many of them are there?
I think it was 85.
Okay.
There's 85 different directions.
I mean, it is going from tax returns. They're targeting cabinet secretaries, other administration officials. They're claiming this is a new day in America. The soon-to-be speaker, Nancy Pelosi, if she is speaker, has her eye on thwarting the president's immigration policies, tax reforms, deregulation, which has made this into one of the strongest economies that we've had in quite some time. Also, Elijah Cummings is ready to take over as the powerful House Oversight Committee. He's already compiled 64 subpoenas. This is going to be fun. What's this going to do to the economy? I don't know. I don't think anything good. I want you to go to goldline.com, read about all of the things that are happening now that the Democrats are planning and what this could mean to the economy and why you should consider buying gold as a hedge against insanity. 1-866-GOLDLINE, 1-866-GOLDLINE or goldline.com.
Glenn Beck.
It's kind of like deja vu as we look at a Florida recount. And I welcome to the program Catherine Harris, a former Florida Secretary of State who oversaw the nonsense that was happening in Florida in 2000. Catherine, how are you?
I'm so well. So nice to talk to you again.
Really good to talk to you. So, Catherine, I thought that we I thought we had learned our lesson in Florida. What happened?
I think we had. When I was in the Senate, I tried to pass election reform, and there wasn't the political will to do it. But then after being Secretary of State, and we came back, we said, we're going to pass election reform. All the media mocked us and said it would never happen. Well, we did pass my bill, plus everything else we learned, testified before Congress. They said it was the model for election reform, and it's been modified numerous times. So we have... we have an extraordinary model for election reform, and we have laws that are sufficient to take us through this. A lot of this issue has been patience in the process. We do have a mandatory recount. We do have a manual recount if it's 0.25%. But, Glenn, this is Florida. And what I mean by that is not Florida, oh, my goodness, we're going to have these problems. We're not a red state. We're not a blue state. We're a purple state.
Right.
We're always going to have close elections, and it's not a constitutional crisis. The laws are going to get us through. We can legislate this, clearly. We can't legislate integrity.
So, yeah, so here's the problem. The Brenda Snipes thing, it, from a distance, seems like she shouldn't have been there, you know, a long time ago she should have been fired.
Well, you know, the supervisors of elections, which many of your listeners may not realize, are constitutionally elected officers, meaning that each county elects them, and they are solely responsible for their equipment and solely responsible for the organization of the ballot. Now,
wow.
The Secretary of State can give input, but they have no authority over them. Hence, we had Teresa Moore in the butterfly ballot. Now we have Brenda Snipes. She can be removed, but only by the or not by the Secretary of State.
All right. So yesterday, they're supposed to have everything in by 3 o'clock this afternoon. And yesterday, was it Palm Beach or was it Broward that said, oh, our machines are overheating and now we have to do it all over again?
They're antiquated machines, and they are well aware that they needed to have proper equipment going into this. Many of the supervisors of the elections office, I talked with in Sarasota, they said, hey, this midterm is going to be a big deal, and we plan for a presidential election. So antiquated equipment. But what's interesting, and this is, I think, what's important, whenever I was Secretary of State, my only safe harbor was people got tired of me talking about I'm just following the law. Some of the laws I didn't like, but they were the laws we had at the time. And our rule of law is our bedrock of our nation.
Right.
It restricts all the arbitrary exercise or abuse of power by making it subordinate to existing laws that are well-established
right.
and well-defined. So that's the bedrock. Now, what frightens me was my personal experience. We went to the, and people never knew this or recalled it, but we petitioned the Florida Supreme Court immediately after when the recount was going to hit for a statewide recount. And they refused.
Mm-hmm.
The Democrats were more interested in Al Gore's political viability and prolonging what is this first phase called the protest phase. And by doing so, they short-circuited the opportunity to recount statewide in the contest phase. So when courts interfere with the law, when politicians interfere, when lawyers interfere, there are unintended consequences. So here they thought they were being so clever to enhance his political viability, but they short-circuited themselves. And this is what worries me with these exceptions. The Florida Supreme Court finally intervened and said, no, you don't do a statewide recount. You're just going to count them in these three heavily Democratic counties,
mm-hmm.
and that's going to determine the result for Palm Beach,
mm-hmm.
Broward, and Miami-Dade. In doing so, they ended up losing at the end of the day at the U.S. Supreme Court because it wasn't equal protection
mm-hmm.
under the law. But you probably remember Palm Beach came back and said, well, the Florida Supreme Court said, you can certify Friday or Sunday, sort of an arbitrary
mm-hmm.
edict, but they said you shall. That's not maybe or sort of. So we said, while the nation is waiting and we need to get on with this, we're going to wait till Sunday to give everybody the time and the abundance of caution. So come Saturday, Palm Beach started saying, we're not going to be ready. You have to extend. And honestly, you know, I thought, I can be generous. I can extend. But had I extended, I would have broken the law.
So today at 3 is that where the judge said you have to have it done by 3?
And if for some reason someone thinks they're being generous to extend, it's just wrong. And I'll tell you why. You have to follow the law as it's written. And I'll make one other point about that. But Teresa LaPorte in Palm Beach said, oh, just 3 hours. Oh, just a day. They hadn't finished counting in 3 weeks, 3 months. They never finished counting. And I would have broken the law and I put everything asunder that I had sought to do in following the letter of the law. That is only safe harbor. Mm. Now, as to not following the law, we have great election laws. If you don't like them, change them the next legislative cycle as we did in 2000, or rather in 2001. However, to come along now and say, absentee ballot signatures don't have to match the reference in the supervisor's elections office. That is breaking the law. To say, oh, no, we want to count every vote, even all the illegals should even count. Anyone who voted should count. That is breaking the law. In the last election cycle, felons were not allowed to vote. In the future, they will. In the last election cycle, they were not allowed to vote. If they allow the felons to go through, which there were 42,000 felons on our rolls in the secretary in an election 2000, if they allow that vote to go through, that is breaking the law. Just because you don't like it does not mean you don't follow it.
Catherine,
you have to follow the law.
Thank you very much for reassuring America that it's not 2000 all over again and it's not out of control. It's good to talk to you, and we will see this afternoon what Florida decides this afternoon at 3 p.m. Eastern. Catherine Harris, former Florida Secretary of State, thanks for joining us. Back in a minute.
Glenn Beck.
The world is completely upside down, and when it gets to that point, it's always good to have Rabbi Daniel Lappin around. Rabbi Lappin is just one of the best guys. I mean, if you've never heard his podcast, you need to listen to his podcast. He'll explain why clothing needs to, not be unisex. And he takes you back through history, and he's fantastic. He's a fantastic teacher. He is with us now, Rabbi Lappin. How are you, sir?
Couldn't be better, Glenn. Thank you very much indeed. Only just slightly concerned. I appreciated your introduction very much indeed. It was far more than I deserve. But you did indicate that my prime usefulness is when the world is upside down.
Well, you are in great demand then, right now. The world has truly unhinged from reality all around the world. Nobody is paying attention to things that we should be paying attention to. China is becoming 1984, a police state beyond anyone, beyond George Orwell's imagining. They're now into this hemisphere. They are now bringing that technology to Venezuela. We have a woman in Pakistan who is a Christian who they're screaming to be beheaded, where the Supreme Court said this is a trumped up charge. There is nothing happening. The Pakistani Supreme Court. And the UK is afraid to bring them in. Sharia law is now starting to be a part of the UK. Then you also just have the fun of the last election.
Well, in passing, let me just drop in one little thing, which may not be relevant to our discussion today. But when you said the whole world is going crazy, there seems to be an exception. Large parts of Africa are actually quite sane. And this is a fact. Ghana, Nigeria, Zambia, and many, many other places as well. What I mean by this is that I've recently been doing some speaking in both the United Kingdom and in Switzerland. I just got back from Switzerland last week. And in both cases, I have found that there are Christian evangelical churches packed to the rafters, and the leadership is almost always pastors from Africa. Now, this is really fascinating, of course, because in the 19th century, we watched England and Europe bringing the gospel to the so-called dark continent, to Africa. Well, Africa's returning the compliment right now. And it's really a pleasure to talk to many of these people who are completely free of the infection of secular fundamentalism, which drives so much of what you're describing in Europe, elsewhere, and even in the United States.
Because you believe, and we were talking about this the other day, And let me play an example of it. Here's a group of people that are out protesting a speech by Ben Shapiro, a bunch of college students. I want you to listen to this exchange and help me make sense of this.
Do you think you should speak tonight or no?
No, not at all.
What about free speech and the Constitution? How does it work?
That's a good point, but he shouldn't be allowed to have free speech if he's going to preach the kinds of things that he preaches.
Well, what are some of the things that you're talking about, though?
I don't know what he said specifically.
Okay. Do you know any quotes or anything?
I don't know what he said specifically. I just don't agree with his platform.
I'm against Ben Shapiro because, I mean, it would take a while to describe everything that's wrong with him.
Protesting or for Ben?
Okay, stop. So, I mean,
perfectly normal, perfectly natural. This is exactly what would have happened had a Catholic priest stood up in 720 when the Muslims were sweeping through the Spanish Peninsula. And he would have said, hey, I want to give a speech about why Catholicism works. What would the Muslims have done? They wouldn't have said, oh, that's an interesting thought. Why don't we have a symposium on the topic? They wouldn't. They'd have taken off his head.
Right.
And then they convert his church into a mosque and they move on to the next town. That's what you do. Look, this is about competing faith systems. Literally competing religions. It is not different from when the Muslims stood at the gates of Vienna in 1683. And who was it? It was the King of Poland who actually saved the Western world on that day. It's not different from any time there have been clashes between competing and incompatible faiths. Ben Shapiro stands for, as do you, for heaven's sake, for so many years, Glenn, for a worldview based on a Judeo-Christian biblical model, and the mobs on the campus stand for a vision that is based on the Tower of Babel, essentially. I mean, 9 verses at the beginning of chapter 11 in Genesis provide a complete matrix of understanding of the tension that is taking place there. But, of course, they don't want to hear what he says. Why would they?
Tell me, quickly go over the 9 verses, if you can.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Look, there's not 100 different ways of organizing society. There are 5,000 different cultures in the world, but there are not 5,000 different civilizations in the world. You know, of the many lessons my dad taught me, one of them is he used to bring home mechanical clocks that were broken. To this day, I still don't know. Like, did he talk to people and say, "Hey, you got any clocks set up?" I don't know where he got these things from, but he used to bring them to me and suggest I try and repair them. And I mean, I still love fiddling with gear wheels and things. But there was a lesson at the end of the day. The lesson at the end of the day was there are not 20 different ways of reassembling that clock. There's only one. Mm-hmm. And the idea that there are lots and lots and lots of different civilizations all equally as good as one another is not one that merely I disagree with, but all those folks who drown in the Mediterranean struggling to get from Africa to Europe, well, they also agree with that view. And all the people who recognize that there's no illegal immigration problem in Kinshasa and no illegal immigration problem in Saudi Arabia, and guess what? No one's struggling to break through the borders of Pakistan. I haven't noticed any caravans moving towards those borders. Everybody agrees that the civilization that was created by the West provides the ultimate in freedom from misery. It provides the ultimate in terms of medical achievement, scientific achievement, economic achievement. And there are not a lot of ways of making that happen.
So how do you, when you are dealing with a religion, which I think you're right, this is now religious fervor. You either believe it or they crucify you.
Yes.
They burn you at the stake. They will destroy you. I don't know how scientists even.
That girl just lacked the words. I mean, what she was really trying to say was, I don't care what Ben says. He's a heretic.
Right.
That's all there is to it.
And I don't see how they don't realize they're not Galileo anymore. They're the Catholic Church.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Look, what distinguishes a religion from a tennis club? And really only one thing, and that is that it answers three transcendent questions of life. Essentially, the most important one, how did life arrive on this planet? You know, here we are on this sort of remote speck of dust in a remote galaxy in a limitless universe. And although we've been searching avidly, spending vast amounts of your tax money and mine trying to find other life in outer space, which is, you know, something that would be fantastic because then it could prove that this really was a random occurrence. But at the moment, so far, we've only got life on this planet. You've got to answer the question of how we got there. And there are only two doctrines to explain that, and both are religious doctrines. Neither is provable. If they were, there wouldn't Correct. Be any debate any longer. One is that a good and loving God created us in his image and placed us here. That's one view. The other view is by a lengthy process of unaided materialistic evolution, primitive protoplasm turned into plumbers and proctologists or whatever. I mean, but one shouldn't laugh at other people's belief systems mm-hmm, because mm-hmm. that's rude. But that's really what this is all about. And everything flows from how you answer those two, that basic question. Secular fundamentalism has become the official state religion in America. It's certainly the religion of the temple of American culture, the university campus, and that's why the battles are being fought over there on the campus.
So did you say you were over in England?
Yes, I was recently, yes.
This thing with Asia Bibi is very disturbing. Are you following that?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so this is the woman who has been in prison over in Pakistan for 9 years on trumped-up charges. She was supposed to be executed. The Supreme Court looked at her case over in Pakistan. They said this was a mistake, a travesty of justice. They released her. She's now under government protection, which you can't really trust that for very long. She's asked the UK for shelter and refugee status. They will not give it to her because they said she'd cause probably too many disruptions and civil unrest in the United Kingdom. As I'm looking at the United Kingdom, Rabbi Lappin, you've got the Labour Party being investigated for anti-Semitism. You have all of the police, it seems, and all of the government structures hiding from the bad element of the Islamists and hiding the bad element from others.
Yes.
How close are we to losing England?
Well, I thought very close indeed until I had a chance. I spoke for 22 churches in 21 days. And I had expected, I didn't fully understand. I thought I was being put in front of English Anglican churches. Mm-hmm. I wasn't. You walk into most Anglican churches in the United Kingdom, and there's three half-wits sitting in the pews because they got nowhere else to be.
Correct.
But
so, like going to church in New York, it's their art galleries now. Oh, or, no, it's bars.
That's right.
Yeah.
But I spoke for Hillsong Church in London, 10,000 people sitting there. Mm. And so it was in every church I spoke. So, look, I personally believe, being as this is a struggle between two competing belief systems, I do think that the only hope is not political but religious, because we know back till the year 2000, even the New York Times agreed that the most reliable correlation of Republican voters was regular church attendance. Mm-hmm. And so I do think that in the same way that we saw a huge religious reawakening in America fuel the War of Independence, and we saw a second religious mm-hmm. reawakening propel the abolition of slavery, I think we're looking forward. I'm looking forward. I mean, I don't want to sound like an Orthodox rabbi singing Onward Christian Soldiers, but I'm looking forward to a third religious reawakening, because when people's hearts change, so do their politics.
So you and I have been friends for I don't even know how long now, and you're so friendly to the Christians, and I hope to be as friendly to Jews as you are to Christians. And we both know that Martin Luther King was right, and you got to change people's hearts. But how do you do that in a world where so much is justified? The pushback, people have had enough. They've had enough.
and it's become insane. And if you don't push back, they're going to steamroll you. I think that's why Donald Trump won. He won because he was not afraid to have somebody say something bad about him, and he was going to fight fire with fire.
That's why I supported him. Yeah, absolutely. No question about it.
So how do we not, lose our decency in that?
Look, Glenn, I don't want to sound insincere or flattering at all, but I'm talking the truth when I say that this is something you've been doing all along. You remember our get together in Utah, and there've been so many of the get togethers.
Yes.
Bringing together like-minded people, I think, is the clue. I think it happens in evangelical churches in America. It happens in Orthodox synagogues. But it doesn't have to take place in a specifically religious environment, as Donald Trump showed, and as you've been doing for much longer. When people come together, at the mall, you remember that great event you put together, and I was so honored to be there. People happen to be people in general. If we would have said to those people, look, you may not have thought about this, but we're putting you on the spot. You absolutely have to tell us which of these two arguments do you prefer? People were put here by created in God's image and put here by God, or people grew up out of primitive slime into chimpanzees. And then people, you got to pick which one is closer. The overwhelming majority of people who were in Utah, who were at the mall or anywhere else that you gather large crowds of people, would have said, well, we're on the side of God, creator. Can't prove it, don't know, but if you force me to make a decision, I'm on that side. That's what the majority of people would have said. On the university campus, the majority of people will say the other side. And one of my books, it's called America's Real War, which you did a great deal to popularize years ago, when we spoke about it on one of the shows, that I'm reissuing that book with new chapters, because here's the big missing piece. You got to explain the strange and bizarre alliance between radical Islam and American liberalism. What are these two groups got to do with what? Well, the answer is everything.
Yeah.
And that's crucial to understand.
Rabbi Lappin, always good to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you again. Rabbi Lappin is actually in. We're going to do a 90-minute podcast with him. It'll be coming up in the next few weeks. And we are going to probably start that podcast right where you left off.
Oh, okay.
What do those two things have in common?
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you, Rabbi. Coming up in just a second, we're going to be calling possibly you. Also, Andrew Heaton is going to be joining us. First, let me tell you about LifeLock.com. By the way, if you want to hear more from Rabbi Lappin, just go to wherever you find podcasts and look for Rabbi Daniel Lappin. You will love his podcast, and you'll learn so much. I'm warning you, you'll become addicted to it. All right. LifeLock is our sponsor this half hour. If somebody takes your Social Security number, you remember, Stu, back in the 80s and 90s when they started this stuff, and you're kind of like, a Social Security number, what's somebody going to do with it?
Yeah. It didn't seem like it was a big deal.
Right,
at all.
Right. And then, you know, somebody's going to hack into your computer. Oh, no, he's going to hack into my computer. Now, your identity and your devices are so hackable and so important. It is absolutely a must to protect them. LifeLock.com now has the power of Norton Security behind them. They're going to help you protect against the threats to your identity and your devices. LifeLock.com. You have a problem, they'll alert you, and then they'll fix it. LifeLock.com. Use the promo code Beck right now, and you're going to save 10%. Plus, you're going to get a $25 Amazon gift card with annual enrollment. So you get something while you're doing your holiday shopping, and you can also use that $25 Amazon gift card, you know, as a gift for somebody else. Yes, yes, you can re-gift it. Promo code Beck, LifeLock.com, 1-800-LIFELOCK, 1-800-LIFELOCK, or LifeLock.com. Promo code Beck. Terms do apply. We have
Andrew Heaton here, and I don't know if we're going to have time to get into the highway to hell that scientists may have discovered.
Oh, yeah.
We have
yeah.
about 2 minutes. Is okay. that is that enough time?
Yes, okay. I think so. Do you want me to jump in?
Yeah, go ahead.
So archaeologists have found a tunnel beneath a pyramid in the ancient city of Teotihuacan in Mexico. And they believe that this is a tunnel tunnel associated with the underworld. I should say this is what the archaeologists are saying. It's associated with the underworld. But the headlines are scientists have found a tunnel to the underworld. And my thought is put a railway in it. I think we've already got if they've already done the work for us, go ahead and put a rail system through it. When I lived in New York, I would have gladly commuted through hell to save 15 minutes on the A-train.
Wait, so the scientists are saying it has something to do with the underworld? What is this?
In the sense that, like, Egyptian pyramids oftentimes have to do with the underworld, you know, of, like, mm-hmm. preparing you for the afterlife and that kind of thing.
Essentially, what they believed was going
on. So it was like a highway someplace that they hope people didn't walk along very far because you'd get to the end and go, this actually doesn't lead anywhere.
It could be. It could be that there was some false advertising.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah.
Or maybe they plugged it up. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
With it.
So you think if
they built a wall?
They built a wall.
They built a wall to
the underworld.
The ghost immigrants.
What does the underworld look like to you? Do you think?
I can tell you exactly what hell looks like to me.
Right.
Hell is a post office at 95% humidity. That's it. That's
really?
All of. I just. I hate post offices.
Now, are you standing in line?
I'm
at the
standing
post
in
office?
Line. Okay. And I should say, I don't actually mind postal employees. I think they're decent people. It's just that there's these really long lines, and I still haven't figured out the postage, and I get so irritated, and I don't like humidity either. So that humid waiting in line at the post office. And
that's
I'm waiting to mail my application to leave hell.
So okay. So what you should say then is scientists have found. In Mexico,
a
post office underneath one of the pyramids. So we know. Andrew Heaton, something's off. Something off with Andrew Heaton. It is a new podcast. Subscribe and listen
Glenn
to it now.
Beck, Mercury.
Welcome to the program. So glad that you are here. Andrew Heaton is joining us. Mm-hmm. And I wish Pat were here and probably Jeffy, because this is the table makeup of Saturday at the big gala that we're having to raise money for Mercury One and all the things that they do. And yesterday we asked if you would buy a raffle ticket to win a new car on Saturday. We're going to put these names back in with all the other names and we're going to draw for a new car. It's a brand new Mercedes and it's $100 a ticket for that new car. Well, I said yesterday, if you buy a raffle ticket today, yesterday, we're going to draw for a trip here to the gala. And, you know, you're going to be hanging out with us and Chuck Norris is going to be there. And I don't know, a whole bunch of other people.
I heard there's armadillo racing. Is this true?
That was last year. I don't think we're doing armadillo racing this year. Sorry you missed it. That was last year.
Right.
You never know what is in store. But anyway, so we have now... all of the people who bought a raffle ticket in that big barrel thing. So if you would just kind of, okay. Andrew, if you just kind of mix them up.
I'm doing the kind of Vanna White type thing.
Yeah, you just.
You're really good at that.
And then we're going to call this person and, you know, see if they want to come. Because they may just say, I really don't want to come. Okay, that's good. Now just reach in there and.
I'm doing the honor?
Yeah, well.
Okay.
It would require me to get up, and I'm not interested.
That's not something we're interested in doing at this time in our lives.
We don't really move.
Or any time in our lives.
Yeah.
Okay.
So and who's the winner?
The winner is Christy Solano.
Does it say where she's from?
2102.
Okay. So Kira and Brad stayed up all night putting all of the stuff into the computer. So if you can get me that number, and then let's get that to the control room, and then... And then let's call them up and see if they're there and if they'll come.
I think we're going to have to dial more than just 2102, though. I don't think that's going to even work.
They all know where they're.
So do you have Palm Desert, California. Palm Desert, California. Wow. Where is Palm?
So now you're importing more Californians into Texas?
Thanks no, but this one that. Has a round trip.
Oh, okay, that's
one
good.
Has
okay.
a round trip.
She's going to take one back with her.
Yeah.
Swing by Austin.
Yeah, you win two tickets here, yeah. Three tickets back.
Mm-hmm.
You have to find somebody from California to take back. So we're going to get her on the phone. Could you just have this, run that into the control room and have somebody else dial it up? I mean, this phone has buttons on it. I don't know how to use that.
You should get a rotary phone.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have people to dial phones for you, obviously. You don't do that yourself.
You know, you have somebody that calls and they say, stand by for Glenn Beck.
I feel like phones are now, any phone call is like an exercise in public speaking, particularly if you're under 30. Have you noticed that? Because it's like I can make a phone call, but like it's scary for a lot of people if you call them on the phone. They're like, why did you call me?
Is it possible they're just scared of you calling them? Is that something you consider?
That would explain why so many of my friends put their phones in their fridge when I call them, really? So that it blocks out any signal. Yeah, that would.
So I didn't know that the fridge did that, but I guess you're right.
It's like a Faraday cage,
right? I love a man who knows a good Faraday cage.
Oh, I've built myself a Faraday cage. Yeah, I've got a touch of prep right now.
All right, good. So when we get this person on the phone, I'd like you to help. You know, just to see if you know if they really want to come, and let's find out about them because you're really good at what's the name? Joy? Was that the name? What was the name right in front of you?
Oh, Christy Solano.
Christy Solano. Don't know where I got Joy, but. Christy Solano. Okay, so when she gets on the phone, we want...
What separate conversation is happening in your head?
I don't know. Lots
you're talking
of them.
To someone named Joy.
I am.
At the same time you're doing this show.
So, because you're good at, you know, just breaking the ice with people.
Thank you.
Good conversation starters.
Thank you. I have a whole list of questions I like to pose to people when I'm getting to know them.
All right, and, so... Nope, don't have her. Okay, so get her on. And like you came to me with what was it?
Oh, this is okay. So I somebody posed this question to me last week because I've taken up swing dancing, and somebody had this question. It's a great question. Mm-hmm. If you can have a different liquid shoot out of every finger on your right hand, what liquids would you pick? That's a great question right there.
Okay, so we have Christy on the phone. Hello, Christy.
Hello.
Ready to have fun right now. Christy, it's Glenn Beck. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Christy, did you know that you entered a lottery yesterday?
Yes.
And you were pretty passionate about it?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Sounds it.
Are you okay? First of all, you're in California. Is anything on fire around you?
No, I'm about like an hour away.
You're about an hour away. And you live where in California?
Near Palm Springs.
Oh, wow. So it's nice.
Yes. There,
all the time, just to rub our face in it.
Right. Well, it gets hot in the summer.
Okay. Well, it gets hot as hell here, too, so it doesn't make it any better. So, Christy, you've actually won the trip, you and a guest, to come and join us and be with us on Saturday.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Because I'm leaving tomorrow for Hawaii.
You're leaving tomorrow for Hawaii.
Christy has an awesome life.
So, Christy, should we draw again?
Yes, I know. Unfortunately.
Okay, so we'll draw again. Well, I'm bummed.
Can I come to Hawaii with you? Is that possible?
That's an idea.
That's a way we can solve this.
I can't
believe
I'm really talking to you guys. I listen to you every single morning. So
well, good. It didn't sound like that when we first got on the phone. Right. Okay.
We thought someone scammed you and made a donation on your behalf.
Right. Somebody that you were like.
I thought you were doing that to me.
So. You know, you were actually like Dr. Ford, and somebody put you in and you hate us. But anyway, that's a different story. Okay. Well, Christy.
No, I was thinking you were telling me I won the car already.
No. You would have come here for the car over Hawaii, right?
Yeah.
No. But you are back in the drawing for the car. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. God bless.
If she wins the car too. Then that, and then she's like, you know, I actually was driving to another dealership in just a moment.
So. Yeah, I bought a
Hawaii.
Boat.
Yeah, for my trip to Hawaii. I don't know if I need.
Well,
a car.
I don't think I've ever. I mean, I've done this for 40 some years, and I don't think I've ever had a winner that excited.
That was definitely a pre cup of coffee winner right there.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Draw again here.
But it was like it's like what 8 o'clock in the morning over there, 7 o'clock in the morning over there.
So let me ask you this. So did anybody else pick lava?
I think you're the only lava person. Okay. I think you're the only lava person.
So out of the five fingers, I'd like Coke, water, but I'd like to have one and probably right out of the middle finger, lava, hot lava.
So when you flip someone off,
I can cover them in hot lava.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's violent. Yeah. It's violent.
No, it's really not.
You're the only person who picked death, Glenn.
Everyone else picked, like, I don't know, daiquiris or something, and you picked liquid molten
well,
death.
Well, I'm an alcoholic, so I can't.
That's right. You got to be careful.
Yeah, I can't drink my woes away. I have to cover it in hot lava.
Shall I tell you the next name?
Yeah.
This is Angela Angelillo.
Angela Angelino.
That sounds like Angelillo.
Angelillo.
Yeah.
Angel, give me.
And it's number 2355.
All right, good. So if that's your number, lucky number.
We're calling you now at 2355. Oh, we asked them for their PIN numbers on each one, each entry. So we've been giving out PIN numbers.
Oh, nice.
We're sorry.
Excellent.
Angelina and
it seems like Angelillo. A fake name, let's be honest
it does,
about it. That
it does
seem like a fake name.
It really does.
Mm-hmm. Smith Smithinson.
Where's she from? From Illinois.
Oh, now we're going to
Illinois
that.
People
now.
She's
going
to,
but California, and she was going to Hawaii. Eh, not excited. Illinois? Oh, let me out of that rat infested. I'd love to come down to Texas. That's what I think is happening.
It's probably cold there right now, too, right?
Yeah.
Because of the globe.
Wow, you're good at this.
Yeah. Because of the globe.
Are you a meteorologist? Or what's your training?
I played a weatherman one time in a sketch comedy video. So.
So what would you have as your five fingers?
Thank you for asking. And my preface is, the reason that this is a great question, by the way, mm-hmm. is I think so much of the time when you talk to people, we're on autopilot, where mm-hmm. you meet someone and it's like, hey, what do you do? I'm an insurance broker. And you're no longer having a conversation. This forces people to think. And you can see the gears spinning around their head mm-hmm. as they're thinking about it. That's why this is a great question.
Mm-hmm. This also could be one of the reasons why he's still single at 35.
Yeah, this is probably not the best opener with young ladies.
Hang on just a second. We have Angela Angelino on the phone.
Angelillo.
And Angelo.
Pretty close.
So go ahead. Say it for me. One more time.
Angela Angelillo.
All right. You
Angelillo.
You need a change. Was that a married name or is that the name you
It
were?
Is a married name.
Wow.
I found the perfect husband. Can you believe
wow,
that?
Wow, that's amazing. So, Angela, what do you do for a living? By the way, hello. I'm Glenn.
Hi.
Hi,
Glenn.
How are you?
I listened to your previous caller who cannot make it. And
right.
guess what?
Right. Were you kind of, when you heard her,
is she going to Hawaii?
She's bailing too. She's going to Hawaii with the other person.
Again, so Angela, when you heard her, were you like, oh, I would have been excited?
Yes, definitely.
Why did you hesitate?
I am very excited, but I cannot make it.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. You can't make it. Where are you going? Are you going to Hawaii too?
No, I'm not. And you know what? I was there at your first one with my son.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Oh, wow.
No.
Wow.
No.
You know, you've been doing this for 40 years, Glenn. As soon as Andrew Heaton gets involved in the process, now no one can come.
I'm worried that we're going to be doing this for an hour and a half.
All right.
You're going to feel really bad after caller number 43.
Why don't we just have you call? If you bought a raffle ticket and you want to come,
you call it.
All right. Well, Angela, it's good talking to you. Thank you so much. I'm sorry that you can't come. And I'm going to put your name back in.
Me too.
So, but say hi to your son.
Thank you very much, Glenn.
All right. God bless. God bless. Okay. You got another one?
Yep. Jody Coley.
Jody Coley.
2529.
All right.
And here's the secret to this one. If she doesn't want to come, I don't want to hear from her.
Just don't answer the phone.
Just hang up.
Just don't answer the phone.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we'll call her. Let me just take a quick break and then we'll come back and we'll get to the five liquids that. Mm-hmm.
That's what people want to hear.
Yeah.
Because I've thought about this.
Yeah. So what would you have shoot out of the five fingers if you could have liquid shoot out?
Mm-hmm.
And we'll find out if Jody actually wants to go. Was her name Jody?
Yes.
Yes. Okay,
Jody Coley.
Yeah. Jody Coley. We'll find out if she actually wants to come and spend any time at all with any of us. So we'll do that here in a second. First, our sponsor this half hour is Simply Safe. Simply Safe Home Security. You know, if you're like Andrew Heaton, you have nothing to protect.
Nothing.
And nobody wants to, nobody's trying to get into your house.
I welcome burglars.
Right. Please take this away.
Never lock the door.
But if you're like, you know, everybody else, you've got something that you want to protect. Family, which Andrew doesn't have.
I have a cousin.
Loved ones. Nope. Nice wife to come home to.
Nope.
Not a chance.
But you also, you might have something that you, you know, you're just, you know, you just want to make sure that nobody comes into your house when everybody is gone. Simply Safe, fantastic protection for your home, for your family, even for your business. And if you order now, you'll get 25% off any new system. It's an amazing offer. I've never seen them do 25% off any system. Now through the holidays, come with 25% off. You own the system. It is, it's designed by a bunch of really brilliant people who really care about keeping your family safe and building the best alarm system possible. SimplySafeBeck.com. Save a buttload of money, even 25% more off your system right now. This offer ends Monday, November 26th. So do it now. SimplySafeBeck.com. Get 25% off. SimplySafeBeck.com.
Glenn Beck.
Tonight on TV. No catastrophe is too catastrophic. No apocalypse is too apocalyptic. No sports questions are too be answered.
I don't know what's going on here.
Glenn takes your calls live on the air. The show starts at 5 p.m. Eastern, so get in line a little early at 888-727-BECK. Only on The Blaze.
All right, so we called Jody Coley, and Jody is... well, she can't make it. She's going to go see A Star Is Born this weekend.
Because it's going to be out of theaters soon.
And well, she said,
that's the
you
big
know,
risk there.
You know, if it was the second week open, I'd know that it would still be there next week. But
you said we have theaters here playing it. We can actually send you, you know,
yeah,
while
she
you're
just
here.
But seriously, said no.
No, it's probably 3D. It's probably one of those there's 3D theaters in Chicago,
right? Where the guitar strings kind of come
at you into the
audience.
It's either that or drugs, so you gotta do the 3D version.
So Jody, actually, we couldn't get a hold of Jody, so we're gonna continue to try to call her at home. You know, assuming that she wants this prize, which I thought was pretty good, quite honestly. But
a lot of people entered.
A lot of people had a really big response to it. Apparently, against their will, in some form or another.
Like a lot of people who had enemies bought tickets so they would be forced
to come, or they were buying it. Going, I'm going to do a good cause. I don't want that prize.
I think, especially an enemies gala sounds amazing. Everyone you bring just bristling.
That could be a really fun
event.
Could
be fun. Yeah. So okay. So anyway, so you are really good at talking to anybody.
Thank you.
You know, especially if you don't care if they like you afterwards.
Yeah, you got to.
So what are the five liquids that you
have?
Five
liquids. So thumb, I'm going to have gasoline come out. That's a no-brainer. You just get up in the morning, plug it into your car, you're good to go, right? That's good. So gasoline, I'm going to go with miso soup because now I've got a pretty good... No, miso soup's delicious. It's great.
Out of all of the soup, miso soup...
Isn't that the one with the squares of tofu floating around in it?
Yeah, well,
you could have.
Chili's pretty good.
You could have. Well, is chili really good beef stew?
Are we calling chili a solid or a liquid? Because I feel like it's kind of an intermediate state here.
That would clog your finger, I think.
Yeah, I think that's. Right. You don't want to get finger clogged. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking.
Well, then you're having broth, miso soup. Yeah, without all the rest, just broth.
I'm gonna have coffee. That would be great. Mm-hmm. Really good coffee. And then I like scotch, but I don't want it coming out of my finger because there could be some bad stuff that would happen if I had unmitigated access to scotch. Mm-hmm. Right. So instead,
but gasoline is fine.
I'm not going to drink the gasoline.
Well, no,
I'm not
going to make myself. Hands like are a, always going to smell
like
gasoline.
Cocktail where I'm going to get some like oranges and gasoline and settle down next to the fireplace. I'm going to go with plasma. Because they're usually looking for plasma all the time, you know. So I could go swing by the plasma bank, give them some plasma. That seems like a nice thing to do.
So it's got a charity. Your pinky finger is a little charitable.
No, this is my ring finger.
It's your ring finger.
I've lost this one. Maybe like a bourbon I don't like. That way I could be a good host without being worried about consuming too much alcohol myself.
You've not taken advantage of this situation at all. The only good idea there was gasoline.
Gasoline's pretty
miso
good.
Miso soup is a terrible
What about chipotle sauce instead of the bourbon?
I mean, that's better. I think that's better because that's going to be a little bit more versatile.
Yeah. Okay. I like that.
By the way, you live in a capitalist society. You already have unlimited access to all sorts of scotch.
I want to lug a backpack around like I lost a war.
Glenn Beck. Mercury.